I think I've told y'all, I don't really get a kick out of preaching holiday messages. Like, it's hard to make Christmas fresh. You know, it happens every year, it has for generations. You know, same with Easter, same Father's Day, any kind of holiday. But I got to tell you, Mother's Day is not difficult for me. My mom is my hero. So it's always a blessing to get to think about her and the example that she gave. And it always leads me back to Jesus, because that's what a good parenting relationship is supposed to do. It's supposed to lead our children to Jesus, right? My mom was a superhero. My formative years, she was single, and she worked her tail off. She knew the struggle. She survived the struggle, and she taught us to overcome the struggle. Ended up marrying a wonderful man. They've now been married for, I'm not even sure, Mom, if you're watching, about what, 30 years now? A while now, which tells you how old I am, but older than I look, Blake. Older than I look. But I always love to get to talk about her because she's a warrior. No one in my life, other than Jesus, sacrificed so much. I think about, I could have just stopped there, but it turns out I was really blessed to marry someone who would become the mother of my children. And I'm going to make it awkward for you, Jessica, sorry. But I got to see the same example in a very different way. We don't, she's not a single mom, you know, fighting to support. I mean, I hope you're not single anytime soon. But she also has been an excellent example of what a mom does. Moms are unique. In fact, I think I said yesterday, there's a reason they call it a maternal instinct. And you know, that means dads don't have it. You know, moms are special. They're special in a unique way. I mean, I'm special to my kids, and my kids are special to me. But it's very different, right? Dads, very different. You know, little things. You know, moms are not usually the ones who say, "I'll take you out of this world. I brought you in. I'll take you out." Moms tend to want to keep you in the world. Not always. Every now and then, you push a mom far enough, they'll throw hands, right? It's just different. I think about a lot of things I learned about motherhood. I watched from my mom, but I got to see a different perspective as we had our own children. I learned that moms give a lot. They give a lot. They lose a lot. They sacrifice a lot. You know, the most obvious example is, they sacrifice their bodies, right? Y'all don't tell any stories. We don't need to hear any. But do y'all know a mom that doesn't have a back that hurts a little bit? Right? It takes a toll on a lady to bring life into the world, right? Y'all over here laughing. Y'all got aches and pains. Takes a toll on your body, like I said, your backs and your knees and carrying babies. And some of y'all from years, I mean, you hadn't had babies in that long and you still got a baby on your hip, right? Because they kicked you out of a square, right? That's a beautiful thing. Because, you know, when I watch, Jessica's not the largest human. Like she's 5'1", 5'2", you know. And watching her carry those big baby carrier things that weigh like 7.5 million pounds. And you're carrying them through a grocery store, right? And you're trying to get that one thing. You don't want to get the buggy because that's the whole thing. And you're trying to get that one thing and then you realize you should have gotten the buggy. And it's a whole thing. Like, moms are special because they sacrifice their very own bodies, right? they sacrifice their minds. I see a couple of knowing smiles from some moms. My mom had, my brother's 4 years older, and then me and my twin brother, and then my sister was born 1 year and 1 day later. So she said that after she had twins that she lost her mind and never got it back. That was her running joke. I did not know the term until I had my own kids about mom brain. I see some nods here. I'm right on the edge of this might be funny or offensive, so I'm hoping there's some laughter here. Mom brain, right? I'm not a stand-up comedian, but it is kind of funny. I didn't know that existed, and then all the moms go together and talk about it, and like there is never a moment when your mom is not completely aware of your existence. Right, moms? Like there's just this running program in the background. You know, you try to shut the computer down and it says program still running, right? Like it's always running. Men, we can go to work and forget we have families for about 3 hours, right? We know they're there theoretically, but we're there to do a job, right? It's nothing against you guys, right? Nothing against you at all. I just forget you exist when I'm not looking at you. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I really am just playing. But it is very different. You are biologically connected to your mother. You are chemically connected to your mother. There is never a moment when you could be having the best life that has ever been given to a human and your mom is still going to sit around looking at you thinking, I hope they're okay. You know what I mean? Moms are nodding their heads. Again, dads, we're different. We just think different. We'll save that for Father's Day. But I did not understand the lengths to which my wife and my mom were sacrificing their very own minds to be moms. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Because they chose that, right? And there's no turning it off ever again. Anybody got kids who are grown? Does it turn off at some point? Right? Never turns off. There is a connection that you can't ignore. You know, I think in some ways they, you know, and this one, you know, I'll try to say it in the right way. I think you'll know it how I mean it, but, you know, that's why I worry about putting stuff on the internet. People hear things the wrong way, but I know a lot of moms who, they sacrifice their bodies, they sacrifice their minds, they also sacrifice their very own ambitions. You know what the world has shown us in the last 50, 60 years of whatever this culture is called, is that women can do almost anything, right? And that's great. You know, she's out of the room now. So, I mean, I'm married to the smartest person I know, not just the smartest woman I know, the smartest person I know. She can go be anything she wanted to be, a doctor, a lawyer, the president, anything she wanted to be. But that's really difficult if you're having children. It's not impossible, but it's really difficult. And there are so many who are told by the world over and over and over again that you're only valuable if you have a certain career path. And that if you choose motherhood, that affects that. That you're a failure. I remember somebody looking Jessica in the face. Again, Jessica's the smartest person I know. She's wonderful. She built her life. She's not in here. She purposefully built her life so that she could go home and pick the kids up. Drop the kids off every day. Like she gave up potential money, potential clout, potential all sorts of ambitious stuff. I remember somebody looking her in the face and saying, I just have more ambition than you. That person has since had two kids and learned that her kids are more valuable to her than herself. Moms are superheroes. Good, godly moms are superheroes. And I don't think it's too far of a leap. I don't often do holiday sermons, but it's not too far of a leap to see that connection between the sacrificial love of a mom and the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. That's not too far a leap. In fact, it is supposed to be that way. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, you guys know this verse. It says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The one who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There are a couple of different kinds of love referenced in the Bible. We don't see that because we speak English, but in the original Greek, there were words like phileo, which is more like we're friends, we're brothers, brotherly love, affection. But there's one word, agape, which if you've been in church for a while, you know this word. Agape just means sacrificial love. It is love that puts someone else's needs in front of your own needs. Again, we make it way too spiritual, way too hard to understand. That is the simple definition of agape love. What Jesus did for us is not so complex that we can't understand it or mimic it. It is to put others' needs first. It is to sacrifice our very own selves. It is to, again, I think about the way moms sacrifice. Now, dads have their own sacrifices, and that's for another sermon. God, we call God our Father, right? Our Father who art in heaven. But when they use that term in the Scripture, they don't mean that God is an old man in the sky. It has the idea of authority. God instituted marriage so that a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad together could be an example to those children of what God is, right? If God is all Jessica, well, they get all the mom, right? Occasionally they need dad to come in and be the other side. If it's all dad, can you imagine a God that doesn't have the same kind of love your mom has for you? Again, we need both parents, and it's so important to make that connection. So, again, this is not rocket science today. I just want to talk about Jesus. I think about my mom, and I think about my wife, and it makes me think about Jesus. So today, like I said, we'll get into a more complex series next week. Today, we just want to talk about Jesus. First off, we know that Jesus sacrificed his own ambitions, his own desires. Philippians chapter 2, and I know that Mother's Day script is kind of hard to read. So turn in your Bibles. You've got one of those. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Paul tells the church at Philippi, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What mind? This mind. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. It's one of my favorite passages in the Scripture, and it is so rich, but it's so easy to read over so quickly. Jesus stood in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit in perfect unity in the Trinity, and he looked around at all of perfection without the taint of sin, without hardship, without pain, without a physical nature that would cause them discomfort. And he says, hey, I don't want to hold on to this too tightly. I don't want to hold on to this too tightly because there are people who need me. There are children who need me. And it says that he took all of that perfection, and he said, I'm going to set it to the side. It says that he emptied himself. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. Took on the form of a servant. Again, this is about Jesus, not moms, but moms, you ever feel like a servant? Just turn Bluey back on and microwave that hot pocket again. You know, it's, you ever feel like like you're the hired help for a 4-year-old? Moms know. Jesus emptied himself, and that's why this is such an easy connection here. It's because we see the moms in our life purposely empty themselves, do things that are dirty. Do things that are beneath them. Do things that we don't want to do. You know, I got one friend, you know, he never changed a diaper in his life. You know, he could field dress a deer, but he couldn't change a diaper, right? I don't know. I never could make that connection there. Jesus emptied himself. He looked around at all that he could have. He could have stayed there. He could have had perfection without being touched by this nasty world. He could just not have put us on his list. And yet, he did. He sacrificed his very own ambitions, his very own status, to empty himself to the form of a servant. It says not just as a servant, not being obedient, being all the way obedient to death. Not just death, but death on a cross. Such a powerful, passage of Scripture. Another thing that we don't often think about is that Jesus also sacrificed his mind. We don't think about Jesus having a mind, do we? The mind of God. Well, consider this. The Scripture says that God is love, right? He is love. He does not love. He does not express love, not feel. No, he is love. God is love. How exactly does that work? Well, let's look under the hood of the Trinity for just a second. I'm not going to fully explain the Trinity because I can't. My pastor always said that if you can fully understand the Trinity, you'd have to live in a padded room and be fed with a spoon. The Trinity is beyond our full comprehension. But here's what we know. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the first, second, and third parts of the Godhead existed before there was time. Before there was anything. They existed before there was even nothing. They just exist for all eternity. And the one Godhead and the one God exist in a plurality in a way that means that God is in a love relationship experiencing love in himself. We forget sometimes that God didn't need us. Still doesn't need us. If there was ever a moment in eternity past when God the Son says to God the Father inside of the Trinity, hey, we need to create some people that are going to break our hearts. As soon as God expresses a need, he ceases to be God. He is the self-sustaining, self-existing one. Doesn't need us at all. And again, that's a pretty deep theology that I kind of want you to like sip on a cup of coffee and ponder on this week, because there's a lot to that. He has never needed and will never need us. But Psalm chapter 8, here's a good one that's worth turning to and remembering. We're going to look at just a couple of scriptures. Psalm chapter 8. I love this passage. I'll just start at the top. I've only got 3 and 4 on there. It says, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. When I look at creation, when's the last time you went out and studied the stars? It's hard when we live in the city, right? When's the last time you just looked at a flower or a child? When I look at your creation, the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Here's the question that the psalmist asked himself. David said, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. One of the things that made David a man who was after God's own heart is that he stayed in this place. This place that said, God, you didn't need me. I don't really add value to you. Anybody got any kids that take up a lot of your mind, a lot of your heart, exhaust you, cause you to pray in a way you've never prayed before, cause you to feel love that you've never felt before? The same is true with our Lord. He did not need us. When we look at all of this creation that he made, what are we? He made a conscious decision to sacrifice that quiet in his mind. And instead, now he thinks about us. He thinks about you and your life and your choices. Because he cares about you. He thinks about me. I think about that old song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Such a beautiful song. Psalm 139. The whole psalm is powerful. If it's been a while since you've read it, you should give it a look. About the mind of God. And just the awareness that God has of us. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. This is a lovely expression of God as our heavenly parent who is always aware of us. Verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. I know what that kid's going to say before they say it. You ever felt like that? He says, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot contain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol or in hell in the grave, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. You ever had a kid that thought, maybe if I keep this hidden, mom won't know about it. Did you know about it, mom? When I finally realized my mom just already, if I should just assume she already knows, talk about awareness there. It says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We could go on. That's just the first half. Such a beautiful psalm about how God is always aware of us. Always. I think if I had the choice to live in a perfect state without anyone who would ever disappoint me or hurt me or cause me any pain or cause me to feel, I don't like to feel things. I like to watch movies where stuff blows up. You know what I mean? Guys, you know what I mean? It bugs Jessica to no end. She wants to watch something with moral dilemmas and you know, leave you hanging. I want to know the good guy won and I want stuff to blow up, right? Nice and easy, preferably something from the 90s that, a good guy always wins. If I had a choice of living in a world where I didn't have to think about things and feel things, or one where I was constantly heartaching because I love something so much, and yet our Lord chose us. He chose to sacrifice His mind and to be aware of us always. To love us always. To love us in a way that a parent can't, even beyond a parent. We might have good parents, but He loves us even better than that. If you've got great parents, God is better. If you had bad parents, God is great. You need to know that good parent, that father to the fatherless and that mother to the motherless. He sacrificed His ambitions. He sacrificed His mind. You know, in the obvious last point, He sacrificed His own body. He sacrificed His own body. We know of how Jesus was beaten. We know of how He was, the crown of thorns was placed on His head, beaten with a cat of nine tails, dragged up a hill, made to carry His own cross, nailed to that cross. This is not make-believe. This is not make-believe. We believe as Christians, and if you are a Christian, you are incapable of being a Christian if you don't believe this story, that Jesus died on a cross and was buried in a tomb and rose again 3 days later, sacrificed His body, but it wasn't just at the end of His life. His entire lifespan, He lived in an existence that did not have a physical body. He never had to feel hunger or exhaustion or pain and fall down and skin His knee, and yet He put on flesh for us. Imagine if you live the life you've already lived. Think about all the pain you've ever experienced. If you had a choice to not ever feel any of that again, would you take it? Pain hurts. Jesus had all the knowledge of what it was and still chose it because He knew He had to get through that pain to love us. He had to go through that struggle to be what we needed Him to be so that he could make a way for us to be saved and to change our lives, to transform us. Isaiah 53:1, that one really hits home. Isaiah 53 is a powerful passage, a prophecy about the crucifixion that would happen nearly 600 years later. And it says, well, there's one line that has always been powerful to me. It says that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What does that mean? That means that the Father would look down on the Son on the cross and see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. You see, we deserve punishment. We deserve death. We deserve that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, we're all born sinners, and we are all called to give our lives to Christ and become something different. We don't have to stay that way. It says that Jesus knew that. Jesus had to be that sacrificial lamb. And he was so abused, so beaten, so mistreated, that when the Father looked down and said, I need to see a full payment for all the sins of mankind, it says that he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Such a wonderful Savior we have. Such a wonderful Savior that we have. I told y'all, it's warm in here, and I know we have plans today. I'm not going to make this a two-hour sermon. I do know that Mother's Day is a great opportunity to express appreciation to your mom for all that she has done for you, right? Every day is an opportunity to express appreciation to the Lord for what he has done for you. Every day. Again, this is, Heather, we saw this sermon's not super complicated, is it? Jesus did good things. Let's do good things for him. Let's give our lives to him. He gave so much. He sacrificed so much. His mind, his body, his ambitions, his very own safety. He sacrificed all of that. What can we do for him? Well, the scripture says the first thing that we can do is that we can believe that he did it. You know, it says to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's connecting that whole gospel story. But because he did that, we then take it a step further. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that we confess him as Lord. That means that we go to him and we say, hey, I understand that you paid this price. I understand that you made these sacrifices. Therefore, you have purchased my life. I'm giving it to you. And I will now do what you say, not what I say. We live in a world where so many people want to claim Christianity but not change. Don't claim you love your mom if you're yelling at her, right? You know? Don't claim that you love your spouse if you're abusing them. Don't claim that you love Jesus and that he's Lord of your life if you're not willing to change your life. That you're not willing to follow his lordship, to follow what he wants for your life. Because, like the best parent, he wants what's best for us. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that he wants you to be safe or calm or you know, he might send you to Botswana somewhere and might call you to a life that is uncomfortable. He might call you to discomfort to make you a better version of who you need to be, of who he wants you to be. But ultimately, it does say that all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you want things to work out in the way that he wants them to work out, you have to both love him and then accept that call to be about his purposes. That idea of letting him be in charge of your life. So my hope this morning, like I said, I know this sermon's a little cheeky. I'm okay with that. This gives me a chance to brag on moms, and I like that. It gives me a chance to brag on my own mom and my own wife. And this is not a complicated connection. Jesus is the example of the greatest parent that we have. So as you love your mom today, let that remind you to love Jesus. And then tomorrow, wake up and remember all that he sacrificed for you. That he sacrificed his own ambition, that he sacrificed his own mind, that he thinks about you all the time. Good decisions and bad. That he sacrificed his own body, and because of that, we can walk in a life where he is in charge and see him do great things. That he can bring us peace, right? I was talking this morning just about the peace that a true Christian has. What a sad life when you need peace and you don't have the source. I have peace, I have joy, all because I have the Savior, not because it's me. If you're here this morning and you've never chosen on purpose to give your life to Christ, if you do believe the story, but you never really thought about letting him have your life, I'd love to visit with you about that. We can do that during this song or after church is over, but as our musicians make their way up, I'd love for you to consider that this morning. What has Jesus sacrificed for you, and what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? I believe that means that we owe him our lives. We owe him our obedience. We owe him our faith. We owe him our comfort. We owe him everything. And I pray that your lives and my life will be an example of one who is giving back to Jesus for all that he gave to us. Let's all stand together. Our Father in heaven, we love you. You're a great God. Lord, we thank you for the day to celebrate wonderful parents and mothers. But Lord, we thank you for the reminder that you are the perfect parent. You are the one who has sacrificed the most for us. Father, you did it all willingly with your eyes open because you love us. Lord, this is love. Not that we loved you, but that you loved us. And that you gave yourself for us and are the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love you, Lord. And we pray that everyone in the room would give their life to you.